Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of Kiri Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity to ask your questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kiri Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the second quarter and first half of the financial year 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Manish Kiri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Jayesh Hirani, Vice President Finance and Accounts, Mr. Suresh Gundalia, Company Secretary, and Mr. Ranjit Singh Chugh, CEO, India Asia Copper Limited. Without any delay, I request Mr. Manish Kiri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the second quarter and first half of the financial year 2026. I will begin with a brief overview of our quarter two performance, followed by key operational highlights and strategic updates. On a standalone basis, revenue from operations for the quarter stood at 195 crores, reflecting a growth of about 34% year-on-year and 8% sequentially. The company reported an EBITDA loss of 10 crores and net loss of 21 crores, primarily due to elevated legal expenses related to the Distar case and higher operating costs. Despite these headwinds, the company maintained strong sales momentum and achieved improved capacity utilization across key product categories. For the first half of 2026, standalone revenue from operations stood at 375 crores, registering a growth of 20% year-on-year. The company recorded an EBITDA of 7 crore and net loss of 14 crore during the period. The profitability was impacted by continued legal costs associated with the ongoing litigation, which are non-operational and non-recurring in nature, leading to an adverse effect on overall earnings. On a consolidated basis, revenue from operations during the quarter under review stood at 213 crore, a growth of 23% year-on-year and 6% sequentially. The company reported an EBITDA loss of 13 crore and net loss of 18 crore before considering the state of profit from associates and other operating companies. The consolidated performance was impacted by higher finance cost of 61 crore and elevated input cost during the quarter. For the first half of FY26, consolidated revenue from operations stood at 416 crore, higher by 17% year-on-year, while the company reported an EBITDA of 6 crores and net loss of 131 crore before the share of profit of associates and other companies. The share of profit from associates and joint venture during first half FY26 stood at 161 crore, compared to 203 crores in the corresponding period last year. On the operational front, dyes and intermediate industry continued its gradual recovery during quarter 2 FY26, supported by improving downstream textile demand and normalized global freight conditions. Reactive dyes maintained positive momentum, aided by firm export inquiries and steady consumption across key geographies. However, intermediates such as vinyl sulfone, HSC remain affected by intermittent raw material volatility, particularly fluctuations in naphthalene-based feedstocks and other petrochemical derivatives. Despite these challenges, the company continued to demonstrate operational discipline and strategic focus, building upon the resilience exhibited in previous quarters. We remain focused on margin protection, cost optimization, and operational efficiency across our manufacturing operations, ensuring stable performance amid a volatile external environment. As part of our value-focused strategy, we continue to rationalize the product mix within the specialty and dye intermediate segment while enhancing our export competitiveness. Our continued focus on cost control, liquidity prudence, and long-term value creation helped mitigate the impact of external volatility during the quarter. Our joint venture, Longshan Kiri Chemical Industries Limited, sustained healthy operational performance supported by improved capacity utilization and steady domestic demand. The joint venture continued to deliver strong profitability metrics, contributing positively to the consolidated results. Now moving to Dystar case update. As you are all aware, under the share purchase agreement dated May 29, 2025, executed between the court-appointed receiver and Zhejiang Longsheng Group Company Limited, who is the purchaser, agreed to acquire our entire 37.50% stake in Dystar for a valuation of the company at $1.9 billion. For a base consideration for Kiri of $676.26 million, an additional $20.29 million was also agreed to be paid by the purchaser to cover any shortfall or specific obligations under the SPA, taking the total potential consideration to approximately $696 million. The completion of transaction was subject to customary closing conditions and necessary regulatory approvals. The long stop date initially set for October 2, 2025 and later extended to November 3, 2025 has now been further extended to December 1, 2025 as the purchaser could not obtain the required approvals, mainly from NDRC and Ministry of Commerce within the stipulated time. The extension was granted subject to an additional $5.11 million being deposited into the escrow account over and above $3.48 million already paid earlier. The company resisted and objected the first extension, which was given on October 2, 2025, and the company also strongly resisted, again objected the extension which was given on November 3, 2025. So now, till December 1, 2025, the company is going to continue to liaise and coordinate with the receiver to review situation on daily basis and try to understand how the movements of and the developments of the approval take place till December 1, 2025. The en bloc sale process of Dystar continues to be managed by the court-appointed joint receivers in accordance with the directions of the Singapore International Commercial Court. Turning now to our strategic diversification initiatives, Kiri Industries step-down subsidiary, Indo-Asia Copper Limited, is advancing the development of its integrated copper and fertilizer complex at Jafarabad Amreli district in Gujarat, strategically located near Pipavav port for efficient logistics and proximity to key industrial corridors. The project is designed with very high ESG profile as zero liquid discharge, fully integrated facility with advanced systems for effluent recycling, desalination, waste recovery, underscoring our commitment to sustainability. The copper smelter with a capacity of 5 lakh ton per annum will produce copper cathodes, rods, tubes, along with other byproducts such as gold, silver, and selenium. The integrated fertilizer plant will utilize sulfuric acid, byproduct of smelting process, to manufacture phosphoric acid and NPK DAP fertilizers. Significant milestones have been achieved, including receipt of environment clearances, completion of basic engineering, initiation of site development and foundation work, while detailed engineering and procurement activities are currently underway. The IACL project represents Kiri's strategic move into high potential sectors that align with India's industrial and agriculture growth ambitions. It embodies our philosophy of responsible diversification, combining technological excellence, sustainability, and long-term value creation. With that, we can now begin the question-answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Kim, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you well. Go ahead.
So basically, my question was that on what basis the receiver has given this extension if the long stop date earlier was like in November. So did they disclose any reasons why this extension has been given? And also if Longsheng does not pay by 1st December also, then as per the court directions, what would be the next step? And can receiver even in that case also extend it further? Thank you.
Right. So on November 3rd, when the extension was given, the reason which was explained to us was not being able to obtain NDRC approval and Ministry of Commerce approval, which Longsheng was supposed to obtain to conclude the transaction. So these are the reasons explained and indicated by the receiver. Now, there is no guarantee that by December 1st, these approvals would be obtained, right? And today we are not privy to the information and documents which pertain to the exchange of correspondence which is taking place between the receiver and Longsheng and the regulatory authorities in China. So all these documents belong to the receiver, which means that belong to the court, and it is receiver's assessment on which we are relying that they would be able to obtain the necessary approvals by December 1st. So in case if the approvals are not obtained by December 1st, we are going to continue to strongly recommend the receiver to discard and terminate Longsheng from the process and terminate SPA, which receiver can very well do now. We pleaded and we requested the same to the receiver on November 3rd not to give any extension and terminate Longsheng from the process with immediate effect. So against the recommendation and request from the company, receiver with their own knowledge and the information available to them decided to give this extension, which is very much within the discretion of the receiver, and we hope that receiver has taken a prudent and sensible decision to give this extension. At the same time, in case if it is defaulted on December 1st, the company's efforts today are to make sure that no more extension is being given. If necessary, company is going to exercise all its rights to approach the Singapore courts to make sure that the court is sensitized and the court is court is intervening if required to ensure that the next bidder can be given a chance. So our request to the court as well as to the receiver will be to select the next bidder and try to then give the chance to the next bidder to conclude the transaction. So that would be our strategic move. Of course, we will take all actions based on the legal advice from our Singapore Council.
Just one follow-up question, sir. So in that case, let's say when you do approach the Singapore court, will the receivers have to explain their logic to them in terms of, because you may not be privy to what, you know, the reasons why they have done it now, but then when the court puts the same question to them, they need to show some credible evidence that why they think that this tax exemption should be given to them, considering that already it has been more than 6+ months. And so is that something that the court will basically pull them up for?
Exactly. What you said is the reason, and today we are not able to see the evidences based on which the receiver has taken the decision, but court can ask receiver to provide and to prove that the evidences based on which the decisions were taken for two extensions were reliable evidences, the evidences which they trusted on. So all this explanation, of course, would need to be given to court by the receiver.
Okay. All the best, sir. Thank you very much for your effort.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to answer all the questions from the participants, I request all participants to limit their questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Manoj Bura from Adinath Financial Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Manishji.
Good evening, Manoj Bhai. Good to see you post Diwali.
My question was, since I have searched on AI and other platforms also, NDMC and Ministry of Commerce, they require mostly maximum 45 days for any approval.
Right. So I thank you for doing this search. Thank you for spending your time. And we have received your email, by the way. So
I have given all the inputs in my email. Right. You just can throw light on that.
Yes, you have given your inputs in your email, and I will address those. Part I have already explained earlier.
Yeah. You have covered many items.
Many items which you raised. So particularly for NDRC and Ministry of Commerce at China, we are not able to get this 45 days timeline in which they have given the historical approvals. Based on what we have been informed by the Chinese Council and also the Chinese Council of the receiver and coming inputs from the receiver, it appears that NDRC responds within 45 days or within 30 days, but then the queries can continue and the question answers along with the scrutiny can continue for 6 months, year or 2 years. Not necessarily they would need to complete within 45 days. They may raise query and questions and then it further continues. So that's what we understood and we were informed that is happening with Longshan. But that said, it is their problem.
It is not correct.
And whatever is the reason, if there is a stipulated timeline by the court, within this timeline, you know, if you are able to get the approvals, and if you are able to conclude the transaction, good luck for you. But if you are not able to get your approvals within this time frame, it is not possible to wait for them. So Kiri's interpretation of the order is a very time-bound process. If you are able to execute within that time-bound time frame, you are welcome, you finish it, you have been chosen. If not, bad luck for you. So then you get out of the process. So that's what we are saying. So that's what we are requesting to the court, that throw these guys out. You know, they have not been able to do it. Not only the approval which we are talking now, they could have taken this approval long ago. They had 7 years to do so.
My next question will be, sir, who is the second bidder and what is the bid amount and how much time they will take? Because Longsang has taken 6 months. The other bidder might also ask for similar timeline.
So here are few inputs for your consideration. Number one, the court is not expected to give much time to the second bidder. We would not be able to disclose who is the second bidder because we also are bound by confidentiality agreement not to disclose the name of the second bidder. But I can only tell you that the second bidder is financially very strong. Commitment of proof of funds has been given, accepted, approved by the receiver. Correct? And as we speak today, the second bidder has already been inducted into the process.
Okay.
So on November 3rd, good thing with receiver has done, has already inducted the second bidder. Second bidder has been now receiving the answers of their questions. The confirmatory due diligence of the second bidder parallelly has already started. So on November 3rd, Longsheng doesn't have exclusivity anymore. Now, you will be happy to hear, and credit to the receiver, that receiver has already started exchanging draft sale purchase agreement with the new bidder. Okay, so the process is already on as we speak. And yes, I am sure that the receiver is going to ensure and try its best to still conclude transaction before 31st of December 2025, and all the inputs which receiver is trying to give us, trying to expedite this process, work on daily basis with expanded team, receiver is doing its best to conclude this transaction within the court stipulated timeline.
Sir, to summarize, you are still very much confident that the total transaction can get completed within 31st of December, even if Longsheng deal fails. The second bidder will be able to complete it by 31st of December, although last week of December is a holiday in Singapore.
Correct. So that is the reason that the receiver has given at least 8 weeks to the new bidder who is already in process. But saying so, let me be conservative, you know. And if the extension is required, let us say for the second bidder, and if that extension receiver is not able to legally grant without permission of the court.
So the
receiver has to approach the court with sound reasons. Receiver has to explain to court why the extension is needed, and receiver will need to document that it was Longsheng who wasted this much of time and because of which we need this extension, correct? So receiver will have to do convincing to the court, and also the new time frame that the receiver is asking why that is required. So court in all certain terms when gave this judgment, court said, the judge is mentioned and it is documented in the order that beyond 31st 2025, court and the judges will exercise the nuclear option. Okay? Nuclear option discussed was to liquidate Dystar and pay Kiri in the end. So that we don't think that is going to be outcome. But even if extension is required, there might be stop. There might be a short extension if that can be. That is what we can expect, but nothing much beyond that.
Thank you, Mr. Kiri. Thank you for hailing our apprehension, doubts, and suspicions, and coming out with all these answers. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Shay from Fusion Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. My question was, in the situation of this litigation, in any case, can the Deloitte go to the court and say ki we want to give an extension to Longseng Group itself for, let's say, 31st January? Or, like, is it the case ki after 31st December, Longseng is for sure removed from the process? So, any clarity on?
So it is up to the discretion of the receiver based on the documentary evidences that the receiver would have. At a particular time when receiver files to the court for an extension, if you, the order of the court clearly states that receiver needs to apply, you know, within reasonable time frame before the end of long stop date, correct? So as soon as receiver comes to a kind of opinion that they are expecting 31st December to extend, they will have to approach to the court. And that extension can only be approached by the receiver. Neither Longshan nor Kiri can go to the court for applying that extension. And I am sure when receiver goes to the court for such kind of an extension, whether that is an extension to Longshan to complete or whether that is for the new bidder to give the sufficient timeline to the new bidder, it all depends on what is the situation that the receiver is evaluating to conclude the transaction at the earliest. So either of these two is possible. It is logically possible, correct? And that we would need to rely on the decision of the receiver. As far as Kiri's stand is concerned, we have conveyed in very certain terms, and a strong appeal has been made to the receiver to discard and to terminate Longshan now on November 3rd itself. And against the request of Kiri, receiver has taken its own judgment, its own decision to give more time to Longshan. Let's see what receiver decides on December 1st or before that.
Okay, got it. But after 31st December, can Kiri Industries go to Singapore court and claim for that liquidation option? Because timeline is over, right?
Well, yeah, that eventually may not arise because at certain level, Kiri itself is a bidder. Then give it to Kiri and finish this off. There's no need for liquidation.
Okay. So, yeah, I read on that $1.1 billion we have put a bid, right? So how, like, our planning is for to arrange the funds in short time?
Well, the as you have asked the question, the everything has been arranged. Everything was arranged on November 1st. Let me put it this way.
Okay, great. That sounds great. And just a
sorry to interrupt, sir, but I may request you to rejoin the question queue.
Yeah.
Please, yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Dantewadia from Dante Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Manishji.
Yes.
So, just a couple of questions needed some clarity on. One thing is very clear, as far as Longsheng is concerned, it's kind of Chinese related, so we don't know the regulatory environment, how it kind of works, because it's all very opaque. But the second buyer or the second bidder who you said you can't disclose, you said they would close the process much sooner, right?
Right.
And none of your manufacturing, none of Dystar's manufacturing facilities are in China, right? I think one is in, I think both are in US, if I'm not mistaken, right?
So there is no manufacturing facility in China, but Dystar has 16 plants in 12 countries.
Right. So,
right, so
I just wanted to understand the Singapore courts. How eager are they to close this? And also, because Deloitte is the receiver, who's paying the receiver? Who's paying Deloitte in this case? And is it possible that Deloitte is acting in the interest of Longsheng?
So the second question first, the Deloitte is getting paid or will be paid from the sale proceeds. Okay. So
okay.
Court order says that whenever funds are received, the sale proceed is received, the first payment would be made to the receiver. Okay. The second payment will be made to Kiri, and then whatever is left goes to Longsheng or Senda. So that's your answer how this payment will follow. But before the sale proceeds come, Kiri and Longsheng both are paying to receiver, right, half and half, 50-50. Okay. And whenever the sale proceeds will be realized, Kiri's payment to receiver would be paid back along with interest. So
right.
For last years, Kiri and Longsheng both are paying half-half, I mean send up to the receiver. Receiver would then pay back to Kiri along with the court stipulated interest when the sale proceeds will arrive. So this is how the payment mechanism is. Now your first question, with regards to the Singapore jurisdiction. Now Singapore jurisdiction pertains to Diastar Global Holding shares, the shares of Diastar which belongs to Singapore. All the subsidiaries globally, including China, outside China, I think there are more than 25 subsidiaries as on today. All of them are subsidiaries of holding company in Singapore. Correct.
Right.
So when Singapore holding company shares are sold to the new buyer, right, automatically everything, the entire conglomerate is sold to the new buyer.
Right. And just one more
Sorry
question.
To interrupt, sir, but I may request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up.
No problem.
Yeah, there is no need to sell each subsidiary separately to a new buyer.
Understood. I'll come back in queue, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So,
evening, Raj, please.
Yeah, so actually, Kiri has also bidded in the process. So, is Kiri the second bidder, or how much is the Kiri's position in the bidding?
Well, I would not be able to say that at the moment, Raji. But I can tell you one thing is, Kiri's is the last stop, okay? So Kiri, if something is not working out, then Kiri is always there. But I would not be able to disclose at the moment where Kiri is in the ranking because, again, it's part of the confidentiality that we have agreed to, and we would not be able to disclose either the bid amount number or who is the second or a third bidder. So, but be rest assured that, you know, we are solidly standing there.
Okay. And since the first bidder is from China, so can you tell the country of the second bidder at least?
Well, second bidder, let me put it this way, you know, it could be based on the market information, the private equity company.
Okay, from US or the country?
Global.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anj Palrecha from 10X Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I would firstly like to congratulate you on such a hard-fought battle. I mean, I'm sure you're much more eager than we are to wrap this up as investors.
Of course. We have been for 11 years in the litigation. Thank you for recognizing that.
Yeah, I have two questions. Firstly, how did the investor meet on September 18th go? And have mutual funds begun showing interest? That's my first question. And secondly, when do you see the copper project beginning, because that would decide when the company starts getting valued as a rising copper company, right? That's when us investors would be
right.
the most beneficial? Because right now it seems like the market is pricing it as a dyes company, but whenever the copper project begins, I guess then there will be a humongous value unlocking for all of us. Yeah.
So we presented ourselves to the funds, including mutual funds, and I think there was a lot of interest in understanding the current situation of the company. We very well explained our future growth plans also, and we see positive interest, and we also see number of queries coming after our meetings, and that indicate, you know, that there is ongoing interest in the company, and we are trying to educate to more and more funds about where we are today, you know, what are our future plans, and how Dystar unlocking is expected in what time frame. So I think these are the main areas and concerns where we updated them, and be rest assured that
you're saying that once the Dystar thing goes through, there will be a inflow from mutual funds. In effect, you mean that?
We don't know when would be the inflow, but I can see the increasing interest coming up right now.
Right, understood.
So they will have to decide on their side when they want to invest. But from our side, we are trying to continuously engage them with us, and trying to update them, and trying to also appraise as we are approaching near end to the process.
Right.
So that's what is happening today. So that regards to our activities to update the funds and the market. Right. Now, when the copper project will be operational, I would hand over to Mr. Ranjit Singh Chugh, who is the CEO of Indo-Asia Copper Limited, and based on the request of the market and the investors, he will now be joining the board, the conference calls with us, and he will be happy to answer your questions, who would be leading, along with our key management team, the copper business. Over to you, Chuksab.
Good evening, Mr. Ansh, and everyone who's part of this session. While the proceedings related to Dystar in progress, notwithstanding that, the copper project is going at its own pace, meaning that we have completed and the selection of technology was done in June from Chinese, company who have given us the basic, who were interested to give basic engineering and detail engineering of the complete smelter project. Right now, I will be more focused on the smelter and copper-related downstream products. On the byproduct and fertilizer, I think so I'll give you a better feedback the next time, because fertilizer, the downstream is sulfuric acid being a co-product, and downstream NP, NPK fertilizers, which we are putting up 1 million as a complete setup. Typically that project requires around 26 to 28 months. For that we have sufficient time to do the complete detailing, etc. On the copper front, was a project, the basic engineering partners were signed off. We have got the basic engineering package last week of October. Obviously, for such a large project, the package is to the tune of 500 odd documents, drawings, everything. And in the meanwhile, for last 2 months, we were continuously trying to engage Tata Consulting, TCE, Tata Consulting Engineers, their metal group stationed at Calcutta. The background of TCE is that they have been owners engineer for Kutch Copper Plant, and at the same time they were also part of PT Aman's 4 lakh tons of copper smelter, which has just started a few months, 7-8 months back. So they are afresh from being an owners engineer, being EPC contractor for 2 copper smelters. That was one of the underlying reasons we went to them. And in both the cases, the technologies have come from China, the detail engineering, all the partners, and lot of, and let's say 60% of equipment sourcing also has been done from China for both the projects. In fact, for Adani, it could be around 60-odd%, but for PTMR, it was 80-plus%. So that was a USP, and that is how it is. So right now we have completed basic engineering. TC is on board, and let's say next week onward, we'll have kickoff meeting with TCE, and from that point onwards, we'll embark upon detail engineering as a process.
So when do you see the copper project beginning?
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I may request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions.
But my question was that.
Yeah, I'll continue. Let me continue. Finish it off. Typically, copper project requires 36-odd months, notwithstanding anything, after detail engineering. So that is why the reason we are working on detail engineering, and we expect, let's say, the 60-odd% of detail engineering completed by February 2026. And our internal target, as of now, it's an internal target, that January 2026 to by December 2028, we will be on to trial productions in copper. And when we say in copper plant trial production, that essentially means wet, dry run, testing, wet run, dry run of all the sections and packages will be operational. And trial run basically means start of operations. After that, of course, it will be stabilization and going up beyond 60% of productivity. So 36 months starting January 2026.
Okay, understood.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sanjeev from Sare. Please go ahead.
My question is regarding the legal cost. In your discussion after December 24 results, you said that the legal cost would go down now. But they continue to be high in spite of there being no legal case as a Dystar case has ended. Can you please?
The legal cost is still continuing. And legal cost, in fact, is still at a similar level, not reduced. And the reason legal cost is continuing because there is a continuous dealing with the receiver, with the court, with the developments which you have seen in the last 2 months, and also dealing with the other parties. All are happening through the lawyers and through the counsels. For example, every correspondence among all the parties involved are getting done and are continuing through their lawyers. So the engagement of lawyers and legal team is still going at the same pace, and until the case is ending, that when the case is ending is when we receive money in our account. So the day we get funds and sell proceeds in our account, we can expect the legal cost should drastically drop.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on the money borrowed to be invested in the copper project. If I remember it right, in the last quarter you said only half of that money has been utilized and half still remains. And the interest part is picking, on almost on every quarter basis now. So wanted to understand at what level do we stand today in terms of utilization of that money borrowed?
So in this quarter, I would say we have reached around more than 70% utilization of the borrowed funds. And the areas in which these funds are being deployed are, for example, land procurement, land acquisitions, part of it. Part of it has gone to the vendors, to the technology providers. There are certain machinery and equipment orders already been placed. So some funds have been used for advance for the machinery. Some funds have also been used for the site development and the construction activities at the site. So we are diligently, carefully using these funds in a way that the sale proceeds from Singapore
comes, and by that time we are still continuing our deployment of the funds. So we are utilizing accordingly.
So as things stand, would it be fair to say that we have deployed almost 70%, so this 100% of the money could be deployed in like another 3-4 months.
Another 2-3 months, exactly. Correct.
Okay, and in case of any further delay, would we be borrowing more to ensure that the copper project is in the timeline that we have?
No, we don't intend to, because we don't see that would delay our timeline. We can still withdraw more if we want, but it would cost the company, and we don't want to do that. Correct.
Okay.
We still had headroom till $200 million, up to $200 million. We withdrew 130. We still do not want to take further borrowing, and then we will try to manage in a way that we don't need to.
Got it, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Saket from Sagari Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, am I audible?
Yes, Saket bhai, go ahead, please.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So, sir, regarding the additional 5 million security that has been demanded from Diastar, so any color on has that been already, say, deposited in the escrow account? Because 3 million was there, but I think 5 million additional is the disclosure. And second, has any security amount been, say, requested from the second bidders or you, because you are also a bidder? So just first question. This is the first question.
So the first question, Longshan, based on the agreement with the receiver, has a deadline of November 17 to pay this 5 point something million, right? So that is to be paid before November 17. So that is about next week. Then, that's number one. Number two, there is no requirement currently for the second bidder to put any deposit at the moment. When the second bidder or the next bidder executes an SPA, when the sell purchase agreement with the second bidder is executed and signed between the receiver and the second bidder, at that time the second bidder would need to put a deposit if receiver requires at that time.
Got it. And so my second question would be that, you know, given that deadline for the, this deal was 31st December, so how much time, so are you sure that by 31st December, all the pending bidders will get a crack at Diastar? You know, because now we have only, say, the three or 4 weeks remaining, right, given the festivities and, you know, 1st December being the long thing stop date. So even for you or the second bidder, or if there is any other person in the, any other company in the pipeline, then how does everybody get a crack? Is it like, you know, can you explain further on that?
Yeah, everybody doesn't get a crack. Only the second one has already been selected. Second one has already been active. Second one is already dealing with the receiver on a regular basis. So only the second one gets a chance. And second one has given the commitment, proof of funds, and also a binding commitment to conclude the transaction. So receiver cannot deal with three other guys, so they are dealing with one more second preferred bidder in addition to Longshan as on today.
So sir, you talked about your confidence that, you know, that one that you are.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I may request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dante Varia. Yes, Dante Varia from Dante Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi again, sir. So, elaborating on my previous question, the private equity or whoever the second player may be in this particular context, what is the best case scenario of them sort of finishing the purchase within what specified timeline? Do we have any data on that?
Well, according to our own assessment, right, it's more than 85 to 90% chances to conclude before the court stipulated long stop date.
Right. And you said you might be there in the bidding last option in terms of bidding, right? But if we are, let's assume, I mean, I know the probability is very low, but let's assume we get the bid. We are also doing the copper project, and we're also going to get this, and we have to pay for it, right? So you said you have a plan. I just want to understand, does your plan also consider it, the copper plant and the investment that will go into it? And
of course.
We will be super levered, right?
Nothing like that. I would not be able to disclose the capital structure at the moment because, you know, but all the requirements, including equity requirement of copper project, you know, very, very minimalistic leverage at certain level, you know, everything has been arranged and in place. So for you, the copper project will continue as it is, where it is going right now, maybe expedited. And all other Diastar related matters are also taken care. So it has been very prudently worked out. So no need to work on sacrificing anywhere,
right?
Anything. At the same time, leverage will not be heavy.
In the last con call, you said you'd give updates, right, on the copper project.
Right.
In terms of presentation and how much has been done and what's exactly happening, and the management of the copper plant also would be joining. So just wanted an update on that.
I think Mr. Chug, who is the CEO of the copper business, just addressed. He explained in detail the status, where we are, what activities have been done. He has joined already. And before a few questions...
I think I missed it. I'm sorry.
I think you missed it. He was there. He is there. We have given update and disclosed on the website also. We have on the management note, and he will be there for any of your questions every call now onwards. So he did address. Feel free to send us questions by email. We'll be pleased to answer you. No worries. Hmm?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sahay from Fusion Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, due to this incredibly long battle, like, and considering the copper plant investment, so, like, is there any possibility of dividend, like, whether small or not the amount, but as a gesture of, holding so long?
Yes, correct. And that is what we mentioned earlier. I would also confirm to you the same. Yes, there will be. Correct.
Okay. Great. Yeah, all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manoj Bhura from Adinath Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Manoj, one last question. This was regarding financial closure of the copper project. Have we achieved the financial closure?
It's already there. It has been achieved, let me say, more than 95%. Just waiting for the proceeds to come. That's it.
Okay. And what is the applicable rate of interest? Can you just elaborate? At what rate do you
think? It's a mix of dollar and rupee. But in rupee terms, we are trying to be around 8.5% to 9%, somewhere around there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Manish.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sunil Nangalia from Area Textiles and Industries Limited.
Good evening, Manish ji.
Good evening. Thank you.
Manish, I would like to know one thing. As you are the best person to answer my question, and this is also for the benefit of all the investors who have invested in your company. So what is the probability of Longsheng? What is the probability, probable reasons for Longsheng not being able to take necessary approvals from the government of China? Can you elaborate on this? As you are the best person to answer this question.
See, it is very difficult for us looking at the systems in China, you know, whether it is a genuine delay
or whether it is engineered delay. Okay, whatever it could be. You know? Today, we are relying on the receivers of assessment that it's a genuine delay by NDRC and also by MOFCOM, and it could be genuine delay. But looking at our history with Longshan, mistrust with Longshan, you know, we are weighing 50-50% on whether it's a genuine delay or whether it's an engineered delay. Our point is, whatever is the reason, it is their problem, it is their bad luck if they don't get it. If they get it, it is their good luck. What we are concerned with is the timeline. There is a fixed stipulated timeline. Entire process is driven by court not to keep reserve price for sale of the company, is to ensure that the definitive timeline is met. And that is what we are concerned with. So rather than going into reason for them, whether it's a genuine delay or whether it's an engineered delay, it is very difficult for us to be honestly with you, to come to that conclusion. Our focus is time is up, already up, you have defaulted, get out now. So that's what we are trying to tell the receiver and the court.
So my next question. So we as an investor have been waiting since last 3 years. The price of Kiri Industry was 680 rupees 3 years back. And the Sensex and Nifty has just gone up like anything during the last 3 years. But investors are still, you know, very doubtful regarding this deal. So the final question is, I have examined the balance sheet of Longshan, and they're standing on a very, good cash and bank balances. So what is the probability of Longshan getting the necessary approvals by 1st December or by the extended time of 31st December? And if they are not able to get the necessary approval...
Due to time constraints, we would have to...
Just one last question, sir. One last question. Just, it is a very small question. Yeah. If you can consider, sir. Sir, assuming the balance sheet of Longshan, they are standing on a very good, you know, cash and bank balances. So, what is the probability of Longshan getting the necessary approvals by 1st December or by 31st of December? And if they are not able to get the necessary approvals within 31st December, what will happen to the money transferred in the escrow account?
So the money transferred in the escrow account would be confiscated, would not be returned back based on our understanding, that's it. And the probability of their getting on 1st of December, based on our own opinion, and again, this opinion could be a biased opinion because we are very bitter in function. We don't trust them. We say 50-50, but I don't give more than 50-50 to them.
And fine, that 31st December?
31st December, if receiver chooses the another buyer, the second bidder, the chances of 31st December is more than 90%.
Okay. Thank you, Manish ji. Thank you very much.
I hope I answered your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Ladies and gentlemen, we seem to have lost the connection with the management. Please hold. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management back online with us, so you may proceed with your closing remarks.
Good afternoon.
Sir?
Thank you to all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily. At the same time, offer insights into our business and unlocking of Dystar litigation ending. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you and wishing you all a great day ahead. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiri Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.